Autobiography of Mary Elizabeth Cox Whiting, the mother of Edwin Marion Whiting. Mary Elizabeth Cox, daughter of Jonathan Upham Cox and Lucinda Blood, was born on the 15th of December, 1826 in Owego, Tioga County, New York. My father was a miller, but the last 2 years of his life, he was almost an invalid. There was a family of 12 children. Father died when I was a little girl 3 years old, and my brother Jonathan was born 6 months after father's death, which occurred in April 1830. William, my oldest brother, was 20 years of age, and on his young shoulders devolved nearly the whole care of the family, but as he had had the care of the mill so much, it was comparatively easy for him with the help of his brothers next younger than he, Charles, 18, and Walter, 16. Both of whom looked to William for counsel at all times. We were all taught obedience, and I never heard jars, or quarrels, among the boys such as one might expect among a large number. Mother was never well after father died, though she lived 8 years. When I was 6 1/2, William thought best to move to the northern part of Ohio, so that he could get land to farm, and have employment for the younger boys. He accordingly went to Nelson, Portage County, Ohio, and secured 80 acres of woodland covered with heavy timber of all kinds and covered with a thick growth of underbrush. He then came back and took mother and the 5 children, and came on the canal to Buffalo, then across Lake Erie to Plainsville. A team met us there, and we soon passed the 30 miles arriving at our new home. But what a change! A log house in the center of a little clearing greeted us. Most of the trees and brush had been cut down and burned. Fences made of split rails laid one upon another enclosed the place. It was many days before it seemed like home, but we children soon found delight in the new home that compensated for all we had left behind. Mother never gained in health, but grew worse until she died 5 December 1838 and was buried in Nelson. Then we were left to shift for ourselves. The 3 oldest boys were married, and homes were found for Jonathan and me. The rest were at work, where they had a chance, and the home was sold. The proceeds after mother's expenses were taken out were divided among the family without a jar, or quarrel, that I ever heard of. Walter was married to Emmeline Whiting about 2 years before mother died, and as the boys began to leave home about that time, we were seldom together. William married Sarah and Bibi before Walter was married. I went to live with a Mr. Barber in Nelson, Ohio, and Jonathan went with a Mr. Raitt in Mindham. Walter Cox and Edwin Whiting with their families and Amos Cox, then 16 years old, had gone to Missouri, at that time the gathering place of the Latter-day Saints. None of us had ever heard the gospel, only, as we heard of old Joe Smith and his gold Bible. And everyone thought Mormonism would soon be a thing of the past and forgotten. We were surprised to learn that Walter and Emmeline, also Edwin and Elizabeth, had joined the Mormon Church in Missouri, and they were soon driven with the rest of the saints from the state and settled in Lima, Illinois. They remained there till 1845, when the saints were driven out. I lived with Mr. Barber 2 years, then went and stayed with my brother, Charles, in Garrettville, Ohio. Soon after, a Mr. Davis, who lived in Akron, Ohio, was looking for a girl to help take care of their 2 little girls, so I went home with him and stayed 2 years. I was never mistreated by anyone, but was often lonely, being separated from my little brother, and all my dear relatives, and especially Sister Harriet, whom I almost worshipped. I always loved books and learned very easily, and was always encouraged in my efforts to gain an education. Consequently, at 14 years of age, I was far ahead of most children of that age. An occasional chance to attend a select school and one term at an academy were all the opportunities I ever had except the common schools. In the summer of 1841, on presenting the common branches of the English language, I taught for 4 summers in Ohio. In 1844, I came west with my brother, Walter. My sister and her husband Charles Jackson also came to Illinois. In August, Soon after the martyrdom of Joseph and Hiram Smith, the mobbing commenced. Houses were burned and much other property was destroyed, and all the saints were compelled to go to Nauvoo. I taught 3 terms in Lima, Illinois, then went west with my brothers and families to Nauvoo. I had been baptized in April 1845 by Father Morley in the Mississippi River, at Nauvoo, so was there to attend April conference. That winter was a busy one for the people, for they had previously agreed to leave the state within a year. We were all unprepared. It meant serious business for us. In the meantime, our beautiful temple was nearing completion, and many were looking forward to receiving great blessings there. It was there, January 27, 1846, that I entered into the celestial order of marriage with Edwin Whiting and his wives, Elizabeth and Almira. Never have I regretted it, knowing as I do that God has blessed us together. We moved from Nauvoo in April of the same year, and came west as far as Mount Pisgah, Iowa. Many of the saints had gone through the state, and had built up what was known as winter quarters, where the town of Florence now stands. We were not well enough prepared for the journey, so we stopped and went to plowing and planting. The Whitings and the Coxes put up a chair factory and made chairs, which they hauled back to Quincy, Illinois, where they found a market for them. We stayed at Mount Pisgah 2 years, during which time many died with chills and fever, among them Father and Mother Whiting, Elisha and Sally Hewlett Whiting, one of Elizabeth's little girls, Emily, 4 years old, and 2 of my brother Walter's little girls. The rest of them were all sick for months. Some of the time there were not enough well ones to give the sick ones a drink. Those were times of trial, yet we felt we were remembered by our Heavenly Father, and had many seasons of rejoicing. I taught 2 terms of school in Mount Pisgah. Albert, my eldest, was born there, December 9, 1847, and in April 1849, we started the great move toward the Great Salt Lake, then one of the regions of Mexico. We were about 3 months reaching the Elkhorn, and were organized in Brother Morley's 50. Brother Benson was over the 100 and he had gone ahead, for it was thought best for more than 50 not to travel together on account of firewood and other conveniences, also safety from the Indians. Volumes might be written of that long and tedious journey. In our camp we had 1 stampede of cattle. It was after about 3 weeks of travel at 1 o'clock at night, and being in the many herds of buffalo, it was most terrifying. Father was on guard, but no one was hurt, so we were all comforted, although 8 or 10 head of our cattle were lost. We saw many herds of buffalo, but our worst and most trying experience was on the Sweetwaters. After reaching the Black Hills, we were snowed in for about 3 days and many of the best cattle in the company died. Father counted 9 head in 1 little bunch of willows. There were only enough teams left to move the wagons to a new camp about 1 or 2 ahead, but in 1 or 2 we met the teams sent from Salt Lake City to meet us. We arrived in the city October 28, 1849, and it was one of the prettiest places I ever saw. The young shade trees on the sidewalks were yet green, and many young orchards all quite green made a picture of loveliness never to be forgotten by us weary travelers. But we were soon to leave, as we were chosen by Father Morley to help form a settlement in San Pete County, which was located at Manti. It was thought best to go immediately, to be ready to start work in the spring. It took us 3 weeks to reach Manti. Since it was the 1st of December, there were many discouragements. My husband and brother Orville went to Salt Lake on snowshoes to report the starving conditions of the saints. About half of our little company returned to the city, and, with the blessings of the Lord, the long winter was endured by those who remained. We had many seasons of enjoyment in various ways, and our prayer meetings were held every week, Sunday and Thursday, and were well attended. Father put up a foot lathe, and he and William, who was 15 years old, hauled the timber from the canyon on a hand sled, and made 100 chairs with rush bottoms. In April, they took them to the city, and exchange them for grain and things for the family use, for the long cold winter had consumed all our supplies. Most of our cattle had died of hunger and exposure. Those that lived were saved by digging snow off the grass near the warm springs south of Mantai. It was hard work, but faith and perseverance saved some. We had a 2-year-old and 3-year-old heifer. Our firewood that winter was drawn on a hand sled, and our bread was mostly of grain ground in a coffee mill. The Indians were with us all the time, and our scanty food supply was shared with them always. We first tried to raise our crops by irrigation and watched with greatest anxiety, as it was something entirely new to some of us and very little known by any, but the Lord helped us and we raised enough for our sustenance, although the alkali killed some as soon as the water was turned on. The Indians were always to be watched and would steal, whenever they could get a chance, or kill for every provocation, but we were on their land, and did our best to keep peace with them. I taught school in Mantai nearly every year as long as we stayed there, which was 12 years. Mary Cox Whiting was the first school teacher in Mantai. We had the Grasshopper War in 1856. Everything green was eaten by them in San Pete County Valley in 1853. Fortunately, we were so blessed as to have plenty of wheat in store, and helped greatly to feed those not so favored. In 1854, Father Edwin and Brother Elisha Edwards were called to go to Ohio on a mission and were gone 2 years. While they were gone, the grasshoppers again took our crops and again we were short of bread, but no one starved. When Father Edwin came home from his mission, he brought a variety of choice fruit with him, some from his father's old orchard, which he himself had grafted when a boy. He also had a few plants, which he brought on the side of a wagon. The first few years in Mantai were so frosty the trees rose down to the ground every winter. He only succeeded in raising peaches and one bushel of apples in all the 12 years we lived there. Brother Brigham Young told us to move some of his trees to another valley and try them, so in 1861, he bought a lot from Stephen Perry in Springville and moved most of his trees over there, and moved his family later. He made a success of his nursery business, and was the first to bring those large gooseberries from Ohio, which were raised so successfully in Utah so many years. We prospered in Springville until 1876, when two of my boys, Albert and Charles, were called to go and help colonize in Arizona. Accordingly, they fitted themselves with wagons and teams, and started in February and settled on the Little Colorado near Sunset Crossing. Albert returned to Springville the same summer, but Charles stayed until 1878, when he came back and spent the summer, returning to Arizona in the fall. In the meantime, May's health became so poor that it was thought that a journey might do her good, and with the encouragement of her father, we fitted out and went with Charles. May was benefited by the move, but never entirely recovered her health, and in the spring of 1882, she wanted to return to Springville. We again commenced the homeward journey, but alas, the sands of life were too nearly exhausted, and when we reached House Rock Springs, we stopped with Brother Jedediah Adair, who lived there at that time. They were so kind and thoughtful, and although she lived only 2 or 3 days, it was a great comfort to be with friends. That was the only great trial of my life, but must acknowledge that the hand of the Lord who doeth all things was with us. The loved earthly form is still resting there in the lonely grave. We reached Springville in June, weary and sorrowing, but comforted greatly by the sympathy of loving friends. Albert and Oscar came to meet us with supplies and dainties for May. We stopped in Mapleton and made our home there. Fred and John built quite a nice log house there on some land bought of Oscar.